Well, good morning. As Chris said, it's my first time teaching at Lyft, and it's actually been almost 10 years since I've been able to share with women, and this is a blessing. So thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time to come. And I am so unqualified to speak before you today, but Christ is bigger than me. And so I just am praying that you will get from him and not from me today. So don't look at me. But so we are in Romans throughout this series, and we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 6. So if you want to open the Word and turn there, we'll begin. I'm actually going to begin. Sorry. My ears are a little weird with this thing, but the microphone. Okay, I'm going to begin in chapter 5, and Christy shared with us last time from chapter 5, and it was really, really good. If you were not able to be here, I would really encourage you to go online to our website and listen to it. So, chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "The law was added so that trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." And I'm going to jump ahead to verse 22. "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So I don't know about you, but when you open God's Word and you're reading through a passage of Scripture, sometimes it's like, okay, this is kind of making sense to me, but I always pray and I ask God, "Lord, what is it that this really means, and how am I supposed to apply this information to my life?" So as we've been studying through Romans, Paul's used the first five chapters, five and a half actually, the first half of chapter 6 we're going to learn too, to teach the Romans about truth, truth that they've known, reminders of it, but just to make sure that they know, what they need to know about God and his message of salvation. So, chapter 6 starts off with a question. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he answers it, by no means. And then he continues to go on, and through verses 3 through 10, he explains three things that we need to know as to why we shouldn't continue on in sin. So as we're reading through a little bit more in depth, pay attention to the word no. You'll see it in verses 3, 6, and 9. And another teacher has a phrase that really resonated with me as I was studying this. And she says, we need to know that we know that we know that Christ loves us and has sacrificed Christ so that we can have right relationship with him. And that just came to life with me. Any time in Scripture that you see something repeated, God really wants you to pay attention. These are the things that we need to know. So, we're going to dive in and learn a little bit more about those three things that we need to know. But first, we're coming into a season of Thanksgiving, and very, very quickly, we're going to be coming into the Christmas season. And traditionally, gifts are given. And one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave us was the gift of Christ when he came to earth as a baby. But the main purpose for him coming was to take care of the penalty of sin in our lives. And the Oxford Dictionary's definition of a gift is a thing given willingly to someone without payment. It's a present. But a gift always costs the giver something. It just does. And when you receive a gift, it's a blessing. It's something that someone's given to you freely. But what you choose to do with that gift is a whole other story. I've been given some gifts in my life that were a blessing to me and have meant a lot to me. And this is a tedious, tangible example here. and one of them actually was my wedding picture that I brought. So we were married 3 years when Tim gave this to me on our anniversary. And it's he actually typed out our vows that we said to each other and had it framed with one of our wedding pictures. And the reason that this gift means so much to me is because he gave it to me in a season of our marriage that was broken. And I needed the reminder of these vows, and he needed the reminder of these vows. And it's something that that I was able to receive, and it brought healing, and it brought joy, and it brought the reminder of what it is that we vowed to do together. And then, I love my husband, but I'm going to throw him under the bus. I also have received a piece of Tupperware as a gift that I really didn't want, and I really didn't need, and it was cumbersome and obtrusive and took up too much space in my kitchen. Like, it was this weird oval-shaped thing that took up so much cupboard space, and it was supposed to be used to save space. Anyway, regardless, that sat in a storage box, unopened and unused, because it just didn't apply to my life. And those are two examples of a gift and what we could potentially do or not do with it. Christ came to this earth as a gift from our Heavenly Father to be able to bring us back into right relationship with him. And he's offered that gift to each and every one of you and to me. But just because he's offered it doesn't mean that it's going to impact your life. You have to receive that gift. You have to open that gift up. You have to apply it to your life. Choose to believe it and have it change you. So, we're going to talk a little bit about gifts as we read through this. And as we reflect on the passage in Romans 6, think about it as a gift. Let's unwrap it and look at each piece of the gift and really reflect on the giver, what its intent is, what it could potentially mean to you and I, and then if we're willing to choose to apply it to our heart, to apply it to our mind, and to apply it to my life, to be used, to stand in it, and to benefit from it. Because what we give, what we do with the gifts we're given, it really does matter. So as we're digging through that, I'm also going to be using an illustration, and this is an illustration that's been used by a lot of other teachers as well. And so, the beautiful whiteboard. this top line is just a representation of righteousness with God. and being able to have relationship with him. And this bottom line represents our life here on earth. And as Christy shared last week, one man brought in sin. And because of that sin, we are separated from God. And so this void in between these two lines represents the chasm that sin has created. We cannot have relationship with God because of our sin. God is holy. Holy means to be set apart. And in order for us to be able to have right relationship, personal relationship with God, that sin has to be dealt with. The price has to be paid to cover that sin. And Jesus Christ offers that option. So, let's dive back in. Verse 3. Actually, before we do that, on your tables, there's little gift bags, and I'm sorry, there are only 5 and there's 6 tables, so one of you guys aren't going to be able to do this, but all of them have a number on the bottom corner, and so if the table that has the number 1 on their bag is on like the where the bow is, draw a diagonal line, and it'll say that. So who has number 1? Okay, so we're going to be opening some gifts as we go along. And these, I'm going to ask for your forgiveness right now because I have a weird sense of humor and so does God. So these gifts are just, they're all Christmas ornaments, but they represent some of the points that God wants to make and some of the gifts that he's given to us. And so they're just an illustration. But if you want to open, somebody at your table, it can be anybody, wants to open up the first gift, and you can kind of show it to everybody. I'll let you know what it represents. It's a gift of a gift. But it's a gift of a gift that is covered with mirrors. And if you look, Teresa, if you look into that, what do you see? Well, that's a lie. Do you think the giver of that gift thinks it's ugly? No, absolutely not. God created you. He created each and every one of you. And he's given us the gift of life here on earth. And he loves you. And he created you. And so on this timeline, this is your birthday. Every single one of you has a birthday. And I want to read from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. God says, For you created my inmost being. And I don't know if you've ever prayed through scripture before, but every time I go to Psalm 139 especially, I'm just drawn to pray it. To thank God for it, because it's such, he knows me and he loves me. So I'm going to pray through Psalm 139, 13 through 16. Father God, you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Lord, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Lord, your eyes saw my unformed body. And Father, all of my days were ordained for me. They were written in your book before one of them came to be. So God knows. He knows you. He knows every cell in your body. He knows everything that's going to happen through every single one of your days. He knows. He designed you. And you are a gift that he made for himself because he desires to have a relationship with you. There is nothing in you that God doesn't know about. He knows you intimately. And this gift, while it isn't in our Romans text that we're studying, it's an integral part, and we need to know that we know that we know that he loves us, he knows us, and he created us for the purpose of having a relationship with him. So I would encourage you to go back to Psalm 139 and read through even the whole chapter and pray through it later. It's just really important. So last time we met, we were encouraged to live as kings. And in order to do that, we have to have relationship with Jesus. We have to make the choice to believe that we're sinners that are separated from a holy God, but he loves us enough to offer the gift of paying the penalty that our sin requires. He paid that through the death of Jesus Christ, his only son. And when we choose to put our faith in Christ, we are united with him in his sacrifice for us. So let's open our second gift. I don't know which table has number two, but if you want to open it. The cross. Do you want to read what's on it?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, John 3:16.
So this gift represents the cross. It represents our salvation. And if you have chosen to put your faith in Christ, there is a point on this timeline that will... sorry, I'm drawing a cross for those of you listening in. Once you have chosen to believe that Jesus is the sacrifice that pays our penalty, and you want to have a right relationship with God, and you put your faith in him, you are instantly justified. You are instantly able to have relationship with God, and you can receive that salvation. There isn't anything that you have to do. There isn't any further works that you have to do to be able to stand in right relationship with Jesus. And the reason is because Christ has taken on your sin. Christ has paid your penalty. And you're able to do that. So if we look in Romans verse 3, this is one of the points that Paul really wants us to know. Or do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So our old life, from point of birth until the point of salvation, that's our past. And we are no longer having to walk in that life of being separated from God. Let's open gift number 3. Hey, it's a crown. I really wanted to find a robe, because when we are justified, we are clothed instantly with Christ's righteousness. We're robed with it. And I'll just share a little funny story. So I'm walking through Hobby Lobby. The only thing I could possibly find was a little wiener dog that has on a little angel outfit with wings and a halo. And I'm like, well, that doesn't quite explain what I really, really want to communicate. But so this crown represents being able to be clothed in Christ's righteousness. And that we are... because Christ took on my penalty, he's clothed me with his righteousness. I can now live a new life, no longer separated from God. We need to know that we are raised with Christ, spiritually raised into newness. And Paul tells us that starting in verse 5, I'm going to read through 7. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So there's a couple things that we need to know about this. Twice in verses 5 through 7, Paul uses the word united. So we are joined together in Christ. When he died on the cross, he took on our sin, and we died to sin with Christ. Now, because we are still on this earth, we still live in a fallen nature, our flesh is still under the curse, this doesn't mean that sin is evaporated and gone. It's still going to be part of our life, but it no longer controls us. It no longer has the power to control us. Our physical bodies, our physical bodies are still on this earth, and we won't be completely pure, completely perfect, and completely whole until we either die or Christ returns. And at that point, that is when God gives us the newness and the perfection, and sin is completely eradicated. The temptation will be gone. There will be nothing left of it that we'll have to deal with. But until that day comes, we are daily tempted with the opportunity to sin if we choose to. So this is the state that we're currently in. So our past self from the point of salvation and justification behind us is done. We don't have to be under control of sin. It shouldn't be our first thought. We have been gifted at the point of justification and salvation with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what gives us the power to allow us to have God be the focus and controlling part of our life. So, I'm not labeling that very well. I'll get to that in a second. But let's read on in verses 8 through 10. So now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Okay, so who has number 4, the fourth gift? You want to open that up. A shoe. It's a beautiful shoe. A shoe I would never really wear in life. But a shoe. Okay. I'm just quickly putting a couple of labels on this. Okay. So, this gift represents our walk. Walking in a new life. Walking in new shoes. And we're robed in his righteousness, so we are walking in our new life. But our body is still in its human nature. And this part, instead of living to God, or living to sin, we need to live to God. And that process is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. So we're becoming more and more holy. We're being a clearer and clearer reflection of Christ as we live out our life following his word, growing, learning, and stumbling. And so that process is called sanctification. And as we're living in our fallen nature, here on this bottom line, not quite, I'm just going to put this here, this line, is going to represent whenever we either die or Jesus' return. At that point, our physical bodies are going to be in the presence of God. But until that point, we are going to be walking a path that is going to be slowly going closer. And I've seen this illustration before with a straight line, a beautiful straight line going straight up. And that is so not my life. I hope it's yours, but it's not my life. it's more like I'm so submitted to God, so willing to listen to him and to obey. And then, okay, really very tangible, surfacey thing. Good night. There's a Reese's Blizzard. And I know that I'm not supposed to be eating sugar. But whoops. Okay. There's so much better or bigger sins in my life than that. But seriously, anytime that we are not walking in obedience to God's word, we're going to be tempted to sin and disobey him. And so my lifeline is very much this jagged, and someday, whenever God calls me home, that'll be perfect. But anyway, so just know that there are days that are going to have trials and temptations, and we're not able, because of our human nature, to live out this life perfectly. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And if we are willing to just lay it all down and submit our lives to him, he's going to guide us and help us to have that line be a little bit straighter as we walk out our faith. So, okay. As I said, the first 5.5 chapters of Romans, Paul is teaching truths that we need to know. They're all facts that we need to know about God, about our sinful nature, about our salvation, and about our lives. Starting in chapter 6, verse 11, he begins us to give us some application, things that we can actually do and things that we shouldn't do. And so we're going to really look at some actions that we can put into his answer, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So in verse 11, it says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And I'm reading from the NIV. The NIV uses count. New American Standard uses the word consider. And the King James uses the word reckon. So I'm going to attempt to pronounce a word, and I know it's going to be wrong. But the Greek word for reckon, consider, count is logizomai, I believe. And it's spelled logizomai. And it can be translated as reckon, regard, think, count, consider. So we need to consciously think of ourselves. As verse 11 says, actually think about this. Dead to sin and alive to God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 instructs us to take captive every thought and to make it obedient to God. And this is one of those things that we really need to think about and really take consideration. Sin is dead to us. But we need to be living our lives to God in Christ Jesus. So that's our first do, is to really consider what the word says. The second thing, in verse 12, is a do not. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Now, this is a very convicting verse for me as I was reading it. I'm like, oh, so even though we are dead to sin, we are still living in this sinful world. Our humanness, our flesh is still under the curse. And it is possible, this verse is telling me, to let sin reign in my body, and that I could obey its evil desires. And so this is not only a don't do this, but a warning for me. Even though Christ became sin and took on the penalty of it, and I am not under control in my flesh, I can give that control back to it. I can start to obey its evil desires. And I can't say no without prayer and God's strength in me. So that was just something that was like, whew, that's good to know. I need to know that it's possible. So in verse 13, he gives us a don't and two do's. So let's look at that a little bit. It says, "Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather do offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And also do offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness." So I was researching this a little bit. The Greek word for instruments that's used in verse 13, they use it twice. It is called, the Greek word for it is hoplon, and I'm probably saying that wrong too, but it's H-O-P-L-O-N. And the definition is a tool, an implement, or a weapon. And properly, it is an implement used for warfare. It's used 6 times in the New Testament, and every other reference to it, in those 5 other verses, it is used either as weapons or a form of weapons. And so we know that in this life there is constant spiritual warfare happening around us. The enemy has his war plan. His plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he is going to use every tactic possible. And this verse is telling me that I can use my body parts to be part of his plan if I'm not offering myself to God and using it for righteousness. Okay, so let's open gift number 5. And before you pull it out, where is that at? Ruthie. Okay. I'm going to ask for lots of grace on this one. Because, go for it, Ruthie. As I was praying about it, I wondered if it should be something to do with the armor of God. But this verse doesn't talk about the armor of God. It talks about the parts of our body. So again, as I'm walking through Hobby Lobby, and I think about the parts of my body, this is totally surrounded by beautiful Victorian ornaments. So like, and it's just sitting there like, this is what you need, Sheila. And I'm like, okay. So my mouth is a part of my body. And my mouth is a weapon. Whether it's used for wickedness or righteousness, it's totally up to me and where my heart is. It can be used as a weapon of wickedness by gossiping, by slandering, lying. It can be used to tear people down. It can be used to judge. It can be used to complain. And it can be used to criticize. And that's something that that God tells us. Out of our hearts speaks the mouth. And so the sin that's in our hearts can be easily portrayed through my mouth. But my mouth can also be used as a weapon of righteousness. It can praise God. It can pray mighty prayers. And it can pray whispered weak prayers. It can encourage people. It can build them up. And it can speak God's word. It can share the gospel. It can speak truth in love. And so something that we really need to think about and question is, what are we choosing to use our body parts for today? Where am I using the parts of my body that is not bringing you glory, God? And where am I failing to use my body in a way that is going to be used for your righteousness? So that's something to think about and pray through too. All right, so let's move on to verse 14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but you are under grace. And then let's also flip ahead and read verses 22 and 23. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we all have a debt to pay, and there is a penalty, a cost for sin. Verse 23 tells us that the cost of sin is death. And it also tells us that the free gift of God is waiting for you. It covers that cost of sin, and it does so much more. So, you see, I drew a line that says death or Jesus' return. And then I drew an arrow up to being in the physical presence of God. But that is only true if I've made the decision to follow Christ. If I haven't, somebody still has to pay the wage, the penalty of my sin. And that, verse 23 tells us, the penalty of sin, the wage for it, is death. And it's not just a once and done thing. It's eternal as well. So this line, this arrow also goes on. Because if I don't choose to put my faith in Christ, I'm going to be living for eternity. But I'm going to be an eternity completely separated from God. And that's hell. So one of the questions that Paul asks is what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound all the more? By no means. What are we going to do with that gift? Are we going to accept it? Are we going to open it? Are we going to put it on? Are we going to apply it to our lives? And are we going to live a life in relationship with God, walking faithfully with Him, stumbling every day in one way or another, but by the grace of God, He's going to pick us up and carry us? Or are we going to put it on the shelf and let it collect dust and just live our life the way that we want to live it? So that is the ultimate question. And we're going to do things a little bit different today for table talk. Instead of answering questions with each other, we just really want to carve out some time to reflect on this and to really reflect on what God is showing us through Paul in Romans 6. That we are unified with Him, that we do have the opportunity to just submit ourselves to Him and to use the gifts that He's given us for His glory. And so on your tables, there's some small journals, and there's one for each of you. We're going to just spend some time in quiet, take time to reflect, take time to pray. My kids are older and capable of taking care of themselves, so I'm blessed to be able to carve out time easily to do this. But I remember the days of being a young mother and a working full-time person and just not having that time. And so we really want to carve out time for you guys to just spend some time. You can use these journals if you want to. They're completely blank. So if you want to sketch, if you want to make a bullet point list of things that God's showing you, if you want to write questions that you have for Him in the midst of all of this. And then also on the back of your notes, there's some prayer points that are just diving boards to help you too. And it goes through the illustration of Acts, giving Him praise, confessing, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so we're going to just take some time now. Don't worry about the clock. We'll come up and let you know when our time is done. But just spend some time with Jesus and just pray through even some of the scripture that we read today. So I'll start our time in prayer. Father God, I just I'm so thankful for your goodness. I'm thankful for your grace. Thankful for your word that is true and holy. And Lord, I just pray that as we step into this time of quiet with you, Lord, that you would just push aside all distractions. I ask, Lord, that you would show us the things that you want us to see and to really reflect on what we're doing with your gifts. You've blessed us by creating us. You've blessed us with our bodies. You've blessed us with gifts, skills, talents, and abilities. And Lord, you desire a relationship with us. And so Lord, I just pray that as we reflect on your word and on your truth, Lord, that you would show us how to pray, show us the things that we need to see. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just bless these women as they enter into your presence. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.